Praise the Lord. Message number 186. The title of the message, Watchman, Part 15. And we will discuss here that the watchman has a merciful, bold, and faithful heart. We'll go through the scriptures and we will see examples of watchmen and of watchwomen who were faithful, merciful, bold for the Lord, and to help their own brothers and sisters, their own family, their own people of God. Before we go forward, let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. We come before in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that this time that you have sent your word to us will be useful for your glory. Oh God, I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and you will raise up people who are faithful, merciful, bold, who are sensitive to the needs of others, and they will do their best to help the brethren in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, you take this message and make it reach the people and the congregations and the workers who are in need to hear your word. I pray for revival. I pray for a fruit that will last forever. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point here is we're going to discuss the watchman sees and meets his brother's need. We will read a book of Leviticus chapter 25. We'll read from verse 35 and verse 38, how we need to see other people needs, not other people, our brother's needs, and help them. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take interest of any kind from him, but fear your God, so that your countryman may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at a profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. So here the Lord wants us to help without taking advantage of those brethren, give them money with interest, or give them some food with a profit, or take advantage of them. We should see the need and we help them in their needs, so they will continue to stay with us. The Lord ordained that they will stay with us, and as we help them, the Lord will be happy and the Lord will confirm his blessing unto us. Second point, the watchman treat kindly the brethren who is in need, and not to be taking advantage of them, and to treat them as a slave but as a higher worker. Some of the brethren, maybe they are in need, and we should not take advantage of them or also abuse them. If they have talents and they can work, we can hire them. We can ask them to do certain things for us, and we can give them their wages. We can read that in the book of Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39 to 43. If one of your countrymen becomes poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him work as a slave. He is to be treated as a hired worker or a temporary resident among you. He is to work for you until the year of Jubilee. Then he and his children are to be released, and he will go back to his own clan and to the property of his forefathers, because the Israelites are my servants whom I brought out of Egypt. They must not be sold as slaves. Do not rule over them ruthlessly, but fear your God. See, here the Lord admonishes us. If somebody is in need, we should not take advantage and abuse and rule over them in a bad way. If they have talents they are in need, we can employ them, we can ask them to do certain things for us, and we can pay them this service, and this way they will be able to live and continue their lives with us. Some of the time, you know, because they are our brothers, we ask them to do certain things to us, but we will not pay them. That is sin. And the Lord wants us to be merciful, not to take advantage, but to help our brethren. If they are in need, we lend them freely without interest. And if they can work, we can give them some work. They will do for us, they will help us, and we can pay them for this service so that they can continue to live among us peacefully. The watchman work it out and see that his brothers is to be set free and not to be enslaved under other people. Sometimes among us people who are under bondage, they are enslaved by others, abused by others, people who are outside the church. We need to work it out that they will be set free. We will read book of Leviticus chapter 25. In the same chapter till now, and we read verse 47 to verse 53. If an alien or a temporary resident among you becomes rich, and one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells himself to the alien living among you, or to a member of the alien's clan, he retains the right of redemption after he has sold himself. One of his relatives may redeem him. An uncle or a cousin or any blood relative in his clan may redeem him. Or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. He and his buyer are to count the time from the year he sold himself up to the year of Jubilee. The price for his release is to be based on the rate paid to a hired man for that number of years. If many years remain, he must pay for his redemption a larger share of the price paid for him. If only a few years remain until the year of Jubilee, he is to compute that and pay for his redemption accordingly. He is to be treated as a man hired from year to year. You must see, hear the watchman, you must see to it that his owner does not rule over him ruthlessly. So here, if you have some brethren, they were under bondage of other people outside the church, we need to work it out to set them free. If they have loan with interest, they had enslaved themselves, and we can say, according to the reading of the Holy Spirit, we can lend them, they can pay their loan, and they can give us back without interest. And if we cannot do that, we can ask other people who can do it, or we can share 3, 4, or 5 people to free one brother or one sister or one family from being treated in a bad way. Or we can use, if they have resources, we can pay them for their services to us, and in that way they'll be set free. You need to do your part to help and to set free the brethren who are under other people's power. If you cannot, then seek others if they can do this work, and watch that finally they will be set free. We can learn more about these things, more about how to help the brethren, how to speak for those who are in bondage or those who cannot speak. We can read in also about that in a Proverbs chapter 31 verse 8 and 9. Say, speak up for those who can speak for themselves, for the rest of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So here, when we see some poor and needy, and some people, they can't speak for themselves, they are abused, we need to speak on their behalf. We as watchmen and women, we can see some of us are under hardship. We should not keep it quiet. We should do our part. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. As we have eyes and see and observe, we need to do our part. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 16, it says, he defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? So here, God wants us to defend the cause of the poor and needy, so that things will go well. If we say we know God, but we don't do these things, we are not a good watchman. And when we should have merciful heart, bold heart, faithful heart, responsible heart. The fourth point here is the Good Samaritan is a merciful watchman who cares for the victim. We can read about that. We know the story of the Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 10 to verse 37. In reply, Jesus said, the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by it on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. The priest and the Levite, they saw, but they passed by. But this man, he's a true watchman. He took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The priests and the Levites, they were bad example of a watchman. They saw the victim, but they did nothing to help, rescue, or to restore. But the Samaritan was a good watchman with a merciful heart to help and restore the victim. Jesus instructed us to go and do the same. Go and do likewise. The fifth example in this message, I'm going to speak about the midwives who protected the Hebrews' babies. They were merciful and faithful watchwomen who feared God. We can read this in the book of Exodus. We know that when they saw they were in Egypt, they were enslaved, and the king of Egypt, he was afraid of them and he wanted to enslave them. And he resorted to kill the baby boys, and he instructed the 2 midwives to watch the woman. When they will give birth to a boy, they will kill him. But the midwife, as we're going to read, they feared the Lord. They did not do that. And the Lord rewarded them. He gave them families of their own. We will read that in the book of Exodus chapter 1. And verse 15, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose name were Shifra and Pua. See, here both of their names are mentioned because they have done great things for the Lord. When you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Praise the Lord. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. At that time, Pharaoh was persecuting the people of God in Egypt and wanted to reduce their men number by executing the newborn boys. He instructed the two Hebrew midwives, "When you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." But as we have read, they did not comply to Pharaoh's command and instruction because they feared God. And the Lord rewarded them for that. We need to do this. And we need to protect and shield our children and not to comply with rules that will bring ruin into their lives. The word of God teaches us that the apostles, they also teach us the same way. When they were confronted not to speak in the name of Jesus, Peter stood and he told them, Peter and the other apostles, in Acts chapter 5:29, what they said, "We must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than men. We need to be bold and faithful so that we can perform our duties as faithful watchmen, merciful watchmen and washwomen for the Lord." The sixth example about a watchman who is faithful, merciful, and bold to protect the brethren, to protect the family, to protect the people of God, is the group of people who protected the life of the baby, the king Joash, from the hand of Athaliah. We know at the time that Athaliah were ruling the land, and when her son was dead, she proceeded to kill every boy from the royal line, so that no one will become a king, because she was revenging because her son was dead. But here a group of people, they worked together for the Lord. They were a good watchman and woman to protect Joash, who became later on the king in Judah. They were faithful and merciful, both watchmen and watchwomen. We can read that in the book of Second Kings, chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 16. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah, so he was not killed. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent for the commanders. Jehoiada was the priest. In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent for the commanders of units of 100, the Caritas and the guards, here the watchmen and women, and had them brought to him at the temple of the Lord. He made a covenant with them and put them under oath at the temple of the Lord. Then he showed them the king's son, he showed them Joash, He commanded them, saying, "This is what you are to do. You are, you who are in the three companies that are going on duty on the Sabbath, a third of you guarding the royal palace, guarding or watching the royal palace, a third at the sewer gate, and a third at the gate behind the guard, who take turns guarding the temple." These are the watchmen who guard the temple. "And you are in the other two companies that normally go off Sabbath duty are all to guard the temple for the king. Station yourself around the king, each of you with weapons in hand. Anyone who approaches your ranks is to be put to death, because you want to protect the king. Stay close to the king wherever he goes." The commanders of units of 100 did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, and came to Jehoiada the priest. Then he gave the commanders the spears and shields that had belonged to King David, and that were in the temple of the Lord. The guards, each with weapons in hand, stationed themselves around the king near the altar and the temple, from the south side to the north side of the temple. They are the guard, they are the watchmen to protect the king. Verse 12, Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king, and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise made by the guards and the people, here the guards are the watchmen, and the people, she went to the temple. She went to the people at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by the pillar, as the custom was. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her robes and called out, "Treason, treason! Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops, bring her out between the ranks and put her to the sword, anyone who follows her. For the priest has said she must not be put to death in the temple of the Lord." So they seized her as she reached the place where the horses enter the palace grounds, and there she was put to death. See here, the group of people work faithfully to watch and to protect the king from his baby till he is 6 or 7 years old, till the time that God ordained for him to be anointed as king. God wants us to protect the things of God. We should have mercy on the people of God. We should be bold to stand against rules and regulations and against evildoers who want to destroy the church of God. The seventh example about how watchmen should be, and watchmen should be merciful to their own people, their own families, to the people of God, is the example of Esther. Esther acted as faithful, merciful, and bold watchwoman when she interfered and saved the life of her people from the hand of Haman, who schemed a plan to execute all the Jewish. Esther's famous saying is the following in Esther chapter 8, verse 6, "For how I can bear to see disaster fall on my people, how I can bear to see the destruction of my family." Esther, she was a faithful watchwoman. She was not able to see disaster to fall on her own people, on her own family, on the people of God. Esther rescued her life. She take the risk. She risked her life to save her people from the hand of the enemy, as we can read in the scriptures. We choose a few scriptures from the book of Esther, how she rescued her life and how she delivered her people. The first scripture is Esther chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. She responded to the challenge and God's calling when God called her through the rebuke of her father Mordecai. We can read that in verse 15 to verse 17. Then Esther 4, verse 15 to 17. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. That is the first scripture, how as a watchwoman, she take the risk to rescue her own people. Esther, as a watchwoman, she dealt shrewdly with Haman, who planned to execute the whole Jewish. And the second scripture is from the book of Esther, chapter 1. And we will read the whole chapter, how for second time she invited the king, and there she opened up to him that Haman wanted to execute the Jewish. And we will see how Haman was punished and he was hanged. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king again asked Queen Esther, "What is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sought to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sought as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." King Zazir asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "An adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?" As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stand by Haman's house. He had set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, 'Impale him on it.' So they impaled Haman on the pole he has set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided." See here, Esther, she was a bold woman. She never go with her emotion to support a wicked man, but she worked out that she will be hanged. Esther, as a faithful watchwoman, she reversed the plan of evil and saved the rest of the people, and she worked out to execute judgment on those enemies who were plotting to secure the whole Jews. We can read that in the book of Esther chapter 8, and we read verse 1 to 8, how the plan of the devil was reversed, and how the people of God, they get the upper hand, and finally they would execute those enemies of the Jews who were working to execute them. That same day, King Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. Esther again pleaded with the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman the Agagite, which he had devised against the Jews. So here, Esther was speaking on behalf of those who cannot speak. Those have no voice, the other Jews, the people of God. But she's in a position to speak. She spoke. Then the king extended the gold scepter to Esther, and she arose and stood before him. If it pleases the king, she said, and if he regards me with favor and thinks it the right thing to do, and if it pleased with me, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, devised and wrote to destroy the Jews in all the king's provinces. For how can I bear to see disaster fall on my people? How can I bear to see destruction of my family? King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jews, because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his estate to Esther, and they have impaled him on the pole he set up. Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. You see here, she worked as a watchwoman, and faithfully she finished the task entrusted to her. And really, we are reminded with the word of God in the Proverbs chapter 31, when he says, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Esther said, I cannot see my people destroyed, my own family ruined. And God was with her. God will be with us. You know, this scripture that we have read and studied, it should inculcate in our hearts and minds faithfulness toward God, mercy toward one another, and boldness to do God's will. You know, the Lord Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The Lord wants us to be a watchman and watch woman to fulfill the Great Commission, the value of the Great Commission. When we move to the people, they will be saved. People without the Word of God, without God, without Jesus in their life, they will go into destruction. They will be swallowed by the devil. And here we are, the people of God. We need to do our part so that they will be saved. We need to do our part like Esther, like the group who saved the King Joash, like the Good Samaritan. Sometimes we can't work individually, but sometimes we have to work in corporate with other people, with other congregations, with other churches to do the work God, as a watchman and watchwoman, God call us, God call you to offer your life to Him and to have a heart, the same heart of Jesus, kind, merciful, and compassionate, and to act accordingly with boldness to fulfill His will and serve His purpose in the life of His people and the life of the people who are around you. I believe that the purpose of this message, of God's purpose and for this message, shall be accomplished. And every one of you who hear the message will do his part and fulfill God's will. Let's come to the Lord in a prayer. Tell Him, Lord, I thank You for Your word to me. Thank You for Jesus who died on the cross for my sin. Thank You for the eternal life that I receive from You, Lord Jesus. Lord, I commit myself into Your hand. Lord, mold my heart and my life to be the kind of watchman or watchwoman that You want me to be, O Lord. Lord, make me to be a kindful person, merciful, to achieve Your purpose and impart Your grace to the people who are in need of Your love and Your care. Lord, I commit myself, O God, to speak on behalf of those who can speak, to help and to act, O God, to help and to support, to set people free, to help those who are in need, to give hands to those who are in need of help, O God, so that they will be set free. And Lord, I pray to protect the children, to protect those children of Yours whom You call them to be Your workers and Your people, as those midwives, as this group who protect the King Joash. Lord, put me in that system. I am willing to do Your will. I do pray, O God, that this message You have sent it for a purpose. Let Your purpose prevail, and let Your will be done, Lord, in our life, in life of Your church and Your people. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, O God. Let Your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that you will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, amen and amen.